Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, good news on national parks in Canada this summer, and World Cup fans are still coming. They just aren't deciding where until the tournament plays out. Pretty smart people. Those stories and many more next in the travel news.
Travelers are out in big numbers this summer and, as always, using their credit cards for charges and getting cash from ATMs. In our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:22, we share two firsthand warnings from listeners and emphasize some tips to keep your money safe while traveling.
At 11:35 in our Odds and Ends part of the show, we talk about what happens if your cruise ship can't make all of its scheduled stops on the itinerary. And Kraft has come up with a way for World Cup visitors to get their coveted souvenir, ranch dressing, on the plane with them.
At 11:45, we pause and take time to update you on one aspect of local theater as we talk with Scott Clear from Broadway Sacramento.
Doing our best to make you just a little smarter next time you travel, we are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Live and in living radio, once again, it's Mark and Tom, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. I'm Tom. There's Mark.
Yeah. Told you I'd see you on the radio.
Yeah. You're live and in living radio as well.
As well. Well, and yes. Good morning to everybody here. What the heck was I going to talk about at the beginning of the... Oh, I know what I was going to talk about at the beginning of the show. Prices have come down at the pump.
Yes.
It was $5.85 at the Arco near me. Now it's $5.15. So that's 70 cents. That's about 12%.
Yeah.
So if gas prices are coming down... I would just like to speak to the airlines here for a moment. Airfares went up 27% between the 1st of March and the end of May. That's in a three-month period. So when do the airfares start coming down?
Well, that's a good question. But here again, if you recall, as the gas prices went up, there was a kind of a delay in seeing the prices on airlines affecting them go up. It seems to be a little slower curve, I don't know if that's the right term, than it is with the gas prices for automobiles. So if it's going to come down, it's going to be a while, a lot longer than it did take
gas
prices
the government?
To come down for cars. But at the same time, they may never come down.
Well, listen, if I owned a business, I mean, I do own a business. If I owned a business and I could charge people... 30% more than I was charging them a few months ago. And the main reason for that charge, the cost of jet fuel, had gone away, which basically it has. Jet fuel is now down. It's within 50 cents of where it was when the war started. So we're getting pretty close. Every week that the airlines are able to sit on those higher baggage fees, those are never coming down. And the higher fares, they're making a truckload of money. I mean, a truckload of money. Of course, the flip side is that if people, you know, commerce, business is all about supply and demand. So if you've got a product and the demand for it is over the top, you know, if you've got a restaurant and people line up outside your door every night and there's never a table available, then whatever you're charging might not be enough. And so the airlines now have gotten away with raising prices. And people are still buying the tickets. They're grousing about it, but they're still buying the tickets. So it's entirely possible that you might not see these airfares come back down. What you might see is spot situations where, you know, between Reno and Tulsa on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we got no traffic, so therefore we're going to drop that fare to rock bottom. But here's another thing that's happened, and I think this is a story in the travel news. City pairs that used to be served by Spirit are seeing huge increases in bus tickets. 20 to 30% increase in the number of bus tickets between Rochester and Roanoke or whatever, because the main way for people to get there efficiently is now gone. So anyhow, I know I'm yelling down the rabbit hole, But it just seems like that. Come on, guys, throw us a little bit of a bone here. Wouldn't it be nice one of the airlines to come out and say, hey, you know, what a great PR move to come out Monday and say, you know, fuel prices are coming down. We're pleased to announce that we've knocked, you know, we've knocked 10% across off the board across the airfare increases. They would be heroes for a couple of news cycles. It would be all over the place. You'd think one of them would think of that. Anyway, that's my rant. That's just one man's opinion.
And I don't know why they do. Generally speaking, all of the promotional stuff I get from airlines, and most of it from Southwest because I'm a frequent flyer of theirs, is, hey, look, Tom, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you a big old fat bonus of points or whatever if you refer a friend to take out our credit card. Nothing about flying.
Anybody who thinks nothing that airlines about, profits have anything to do with flying is not paying attention.
Well, okay, my friends, it's Mark and Tom. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com for our podcasts and more. At the top of every Travel Guys Radio show, we do our best to bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the latest version, live and direct, here's Mark Hoffman.
You know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, why do you play that music at the start of your news thing? Does that have some significance? Yeah. And it was a younger person, I confess. And I said, well, you have to be paying attention. That's Huey Lewis and the News.
The News.
It's one of their songs.
It's a reach.
Years ago, my genius broadcasting partner decided that that would be a good good song to use to start up the news. Canada, this is really this is cool news. This is actually positive news for some sports leisure travelers who in the middle of next week, I have a group leaving for the Canadian Rockies. And they don't know this yet, but they're going to get a little bit of a refund because Canada is waiving national park entry fees for the summer, which is really kind of interesting and wonderful. Because my people are visiting a bunch of national parks in the Canadian Rockies, and this is probably going to get them $25 a piece back or so. Anyway, Canadian national parks are not charging anything. No pass is required. There's no fee to enter this summer. So, and you know what I thought? I thought, you know, the Canadians, this would have been classic if they'd have said, no, we're not charging any fees for Canadians or international visitors except for Americans who are charging us for everything and bad-mouthing us every time they get a chance. So we thought we'd take this opportunity to get back at them. But no, they're not charging Americans either because Canadians are nice people. So anyway, if you go to a national park, if you're going to the Rockies or up into British Columbia or anywhere else in Canada this summer, there are no fees at the national parks. So that's going to save you a few bucks. And I think is a really nice gesture.
There you go.
Plus, it got
you know, and folks love national parks. I have a couple of friends who are traveling to Nashville for a huge, huge country western Alan Jackson and everybody else on the world concert. And the first thing she said is the first thing I did was I looked up national parks near Nashville.
Great Smoky
Mountains.
And
I can't
Mountains.
Recall the name of the one that she got, but boy, she was all excited.
Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Just a short drive. Yeah. You know, Nashville is the number one destination in the country right now, and I'm seeing that in more than one place. Nashville, and sometimes it says Nashville, Memphis, but Nashville is just really a hot spot. Washington Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C. will be closed to flight traffic for several hours on July 3rd and most of the day on July 4th because of America's 250th anniversary celebrations. So if you are flying into Baltimore or Dulles next Friday or Saturday, expect those airports to be just a tad busier than they normally are. Might be a little harder to get an Uber or a taxi or to get through security or something like that just because the downtown airport, Reagan National, is closed. Here's an interesting story I mentioned in the headlines. World Cup fans, and this makes perfect sense because why would you pay all this money and come here and buy tickets for a match and then your team gets beat or something happens and they're not playing in that match, and now you've got tickets you paid a couple $1,000s for and hotel rooms, God knows what you paid for those, and you're going to see two teams that you don't care about. So what's happening is a lot of World Cup fans are already in the country. They're waiting until they see where their team is going to play and win, And then they're buying the airline ticket and getting the tickets. And I'm sure that's a fairly costly thing. But the comment from most World Cup people is that fans is that, no, not actually. The tickets are not changing too much in price and to what I would have had to pay for them anyway if I wasn't able to get lucky and get them over the counter to start with. So world and hotels are saying the same thing, that hotels that were hurting and not getting a lot of business were kind of concerned about all of this, were starting to lower their room rates. So some of these World Cup people who have waited until the last minute to make their decision following their team actually might be coming out of the deal a little bit better than the people who made plans in advance. How bizarre is that?
Yeah, that is. But what about the airfare? That's not going to, that's just going to go up, right?
No, it's just going to go up. But what I think they're probably thinking is that if you're in Los Angeles and your country, if they advance, are going to advance in Los Angeles. So now it's just a matter of when are they going to play in this two or three game stretch. So I'm thinking you probably could make some of your plans and then wait for the schedule to play out and you would be better off. So, yeah, but small short hops between cities or renting a car and driving a little ways is probably cheaper than some of these other ideas. I'm not a football slash soccer fan. So I'm U.S. football is where my feelings lie. But boy, even some of my staff have started watching the World Cup games and it's become, coffee talk in the office. So by people who had never watched a soccer game in their life until now. Best and worst places for 4th of July, according to Wallet Hub. I mention this because Sacramento came in at number 10 as the one of the best places for 4th of July, and there's a specific reason. These guys have a methodology that they use. One of the reasons that they use, one of the pieces of their methodology this time was, how available are fireworks and how many of them are illegal? Sacramento, of any major city in the country, has the least restrictions on fireworks and their legality, according to Wallet Hub, which got them to number 10 on the places to celebrate 4th of July. Nothing else significant, just that fireworks are on every street corner in Sacramento. That's literally what this article says.
Well, if you live in the area, you can see them for yourself. Now, the availability of illegal fireworks or fireworks that are a little more dynamic than safe and sane, that I don't know. All I can tell you is that Rancho Cordova seems to have a really large share of illegal fireworks blasting into the sky every year. In fact, they have put in place these sensors where they can tell where these illegal fireworks are coming from. And they did this last year and cracked down. So if you're shooting off illegal fireworks in the 10th most popular place to get fireworks, even if it's a week after the fireworks went off, they can still come and bust you.
Well, and the other thing is that on this, the other side of this fireworks thing is that most of these fireworks stands are run by nonprofits. So I would imagine that the income from fireworks stands plays a huge role in some smaller nonprofits' budgets for the year. So
absolutely.
I'm not going to sit here on the radio and say, well, we need to do away with fireworks, because the flip side of that would be, I mean, like you said, if they're safe fireworks and they're sane, that's not the issue. Although I find it weird that a state that has had so many huge bad wildfires, including the one in LA a few years ago, would even allow any type of fireworks. It seems to me like, I guess, when I was a little kid, it was fun to set off the things in the driveway and stuff like that. But it just seems to me like you could take that money and go someplace to a real fireworks show. You know, there's one in Cordova and at Cordova High School. So there are places that you can go to see fireworks shows that are way more spectacular than what you can do at home. But anyway, to each its own. I'm glad that the fireworks stands help nonprofits make a lot of money. Just please don't set the whole world on fire. I guess we can remind people next Saturday before the fireworks start. But anyways.
There you go.
Okay, they can't take Spirit anymore, says the headline. So they're taking the bus instead. I mentioned this in the monologue at the beginning. Indeed, city pairs that were served by Spirit Airlines have seen a surge in bus fares. Now, that's not in bus ticket purchases. That's not going to matter in Sacramento because Spirit basically only served Las Vegas from here. And you can get to Las Vegas on Southwest like 12 times a day. And I guess you could buy a bus ticket to Las Vegas. It's not the easiest place to get to because you got to get over some mountains and stuff like that. But anyway, kind of interesting that some of the Spirit Airlines customers are obviously migrating to the bus. This is a cool story. Headline says Southwest Airlines captain makes heartwarming final flight to Oakland. This guy is 65 years old. That's a mandatory requirement age, retirement age for airline pilots at Southwest. And he was making a flight on his birthday. So it would have been his final flight. And Southwest arranged it so that his daughter has gone into flying. And the co-pilot for his very last flight was his daughter.
How cool.
How cool is that? From Las Vegas to Oakland. It was just last weekend. And wouldn't that have been cool to be on that plane? Because I guess she got up and told everybody what was going on. And with her dad standing behind her. So that would have been really cool. And that gives me hope because those are the kinds of things that Southwest Airlines used to do all the time. So if they're still thinking that way, then that gives me hope that an airline that I kind of respect and like is still thinking about how can they do fun things that would really make flying special. Because the people who were on that plane undoubtedly went home. Or the first thing they did when they got off the plane and talked to somebody or texting somebody or made a phone call or talked to somebody at home, that story is the first thing they told them.
There you go.
So pretty cool. Travel and entertainment, guys, as we wrap up the news here and get down to the home stretch. The music of Billy Joel. Some folks are going to do a Billy Joel sound-alike concert. It is July the 15th at 6 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Temple. At 61st and H Street downtown. July 15th, 6 p.m. I think I got this to the website. The admission is free. They're going to take up a free will offering. So, you know, you can throw a few bucks in the kitty if you want to. But wouldn't that be cool? Music of Billy Joel. I looked up on yesterday. Billy Joel is set in his 70s. 74, I think it is.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He had a little bit of a health issue that I think he's pretty well recovered from.
Yeah.
But boy, you got a lot of good music to cover there.
Well, if you'd like to hear the music of Billy Joel, not Billy Joel himself, but the music of Billy Joel, free admission, Wednesday, July the 15th at 6 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Temple. Way cool. And finally, last story of the day, Hilton Awards. Hilton raised award prices and said nothing. I commented on this a couple times over the last few months about how mid-range Hilton hotels went from like 25, 30,000 points to like 50, 60,000 points. Well, that wasn't just my imagination. That actually happened. Hilton went through. They didn't raise the top awards or the bottom awards. They got all the ones in the middle. Think Hilton Garden Inns, which is one of my favorite chains. And so the room that used to be $25,000 a night is now 45,000 points a night. And they didn't bother to tell anybody about it. Somebody caught it with an algorithm thing and wrote a story about it. Anyways, we've talked about that many times before about how those guys control your destiny with their points and miles. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Again, travelguysradio.com is where you'll want to find us and a link to our previous programs. By the way, coming up next here on the Travel Guys, a lot of folks traveling using your credit cards, those ATMs. How safe are they? We're going to try to make you safer about that when we come back right here with the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Are you hitting the road, going to be out doing some traveling? How often do you reach in your wallet and pull out your ATM card and, use it to get some cash or to pay for something? I would imagine we do that a lot, but it's and how often do you really pay close attention as to where you're using it and how safe it may be? We got some tips today that could possibly save you some grief and some money.
We do. A couple of Travel Guys listeners wrote me last week, independent of each other, and pointed out a couple of things that I want to share with you. We mention this from time to time. One of our listeners was at an ATM, and she was getting some money, and she was entering her PIN number, and she kind of felt the presence of someone, and she turned her head to see that the person behind her apparently was looking over his shoulder, and she felt had a clear view, because she wasn't really making any attempt to hide it, of the PIN that she had just punched into the machine. And, of course, now her money is kicking out and stuff like that, and she's thinking to herself, wow, that really wasn't very smart, because that guy probably could see my PIN entirely. I don't know what else information he'd have to have other than my PIN, obviously. But,
yeah, and her card.
Yeah, well, and she just said, you know, it just made me really uncomfortable. And she said, I thought back to something that you had said on the program one time that didn't make any sense to me when you said it. But she said, you mentioned covering the pad with your other hand while you're, you know, entering your PIN a little bit, so that it makes it a little harder for people to read. And she said, at the time you said that, I thought to myself, why would you do that? And she said, now I understand completely, because she said probably this guy was not, had no ill will or anything in mind, but she said he was so close to her that it would have been easy for him to see. So she just said, remind your folks to, when they're using an ATM, don't stand back from it by 2 feet and invite everybody to take a picture of what you're doing. You know, stand up close and put your hand over the pad so that people can't see what you're doing. Another person wrote in, this was also a lady, and she said she stopped at a roadside service station, big one. She mentioned the name, I won't. But anyway, one of the that have kind of replaced rest stops along the highway. Super large service station with a restaurant and, you know, snacks and restrooms and all of that kind of jazz, truck stop. And she said she went to use their ATM because it said, you know, it was a bank ATM and it was outside of the store. And she went to use it, and she said as she was putting her card in, it was hard to get the card in, and she wiggled it a little bit and part of the machine came off in her hand. She said, yeah. Literally, the top of the machine with my card partially stuck in it came loose and landed in my hand. So she was like, what the heck is that? And I said, well, what that was is, that's that we talk about these, that was a skimmer. Somebody had put that on the machine over the top of the regular equipment so that when you stuck your card in, they could record all of what was happening. The code that you entered, your bank account, how much money is there, how much you took out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, unfortunately, and she said, but it had the name of a bank on it. And I said, yeah, but it was a private business, and the bank may not come around and check ATMs at private businesses for things like skimmers. And this is becoming more and more common. So the other thing to do, a suggestion that came, this was from a media person this week, was have an account if you travel a lot. Have an account with a few thousand dollars in it, or whatever you can afford to have in it that you need when you travel, and that's it. So if somebody gets into that account, all they can get is what your travel fund is, as opposed to getting access to your life savings. I thought that was kind of an interesting idea. For some people, that might be a few hundred dollars. For some people, it might be a few thousand dollars, and it would depend on where you're going. But having some sort of, hey, you know, even if you get my information, good luck to you, because you can't get very much. So three really good ideas, and two of them from listeners. The lady was like, I couldn't believe it. I'm just holding this piece of this machine. She thought I'd broken it or I'd done something horrible to it. And she said, I took it into the store and gave it to them, and they didn't know anything about it. She said, it was a Bank of America ATM. She said, I guess I should have called Bank of America, but I went outside and looked for a phone number or anything, and there wasn't really any way to contact them. So... and she said, wow. Once that came off of my hand, the machine still looked like it was workable. She said, I didn't use it, but, it looked like it would still work. Yes. Because the original, card insert spot was now open to you. So Anyways, when you travel, really and truly, you've got to think about the fact that there are people who spend a lot of time and a lot of effort trying to make sure that they can get your money. So when you're traveling, it really is word to the wise. Sit down, spend a couple of minutes. You know, don't carry 9 credit cards in your wallet when you're traveling. Carry the one that you always use in a backup, or put the backup in a suitcase or some other place so that if your wallet gets taken, that you still have a backup credit card until you can get the others replaced. And obviously, carrying or showing a lot of cash is something that's not recommended, but most people don't carry a lot of cash anymore. I told the story last week about trying to tip in a European and Amsterdam restaurant and having a heck of a time getting change. And then when I left the tip, having the server go, "Wow, that was really nice of you." You know,
cash, what do I do with this?
Yeah. What do I do with this? But anyway, just when you're the bottom line to all of this is that don't take things for granted. Protect yourself when you're out traveling, because think about what would happen if you were in a foreign country and you were a week from getting home and your credit card went bad on you. And how much of an inconvenience that would be. And if you'd have just taken a few little steps to make yourself a little bit safer along the way, why that might not have happened.
I love the have a vacation account. You know, you can set it up with your regular bank that you normally use. Go in, tell them you want to open up a secondary. And like you say, transfer just what you need at any given time for your trip. If you wanted to and you were along the way and you were running short, you could automatically, probably even on your phone, transfer some funds into it. But like you say, if it gets scammed, they're only going to get what's there and not get into you. Like we pointed out, Mark, your life savings, all of your important banking information. So I love that one. Okay, well, with that being said, we move on. We're going to have the Sports Leisure Minute coming up. Following that, we're going to talk, have our odds and ends segment, talk about the ever so popular Kraft ranch dressing that all the people from foreign countries that have come here for the World Cup are clamoring for. That and more coming up next here on the Travel Guys.
We're going places with that Sports Leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
The 8,000 members of the Sports Leisure Vacations Travel Club got an update last week by way of email. And for those of you who don't do email, yours is in the mail. An update giving you an opportunity to sign up for some new vacations to places like Sedona, the Red Rocks of Sedona in October, a balloon fiesta in the Palm Springs area in November, Costa Rica in the spring of next year, of 2027. And so those are all opportunities that you can find out about and more information at sportsleisure.com, or give us a call Monday morning. We also do a plethora of day trips around the area if you're a mature traveler, or if you're just somebody who enjoys the theater in San Francisco and rather not have to drive there. Sports Leisure Vacations can take you there on a motor coach in comfort. You don't have to worry about the traffic. All kinds of day trips. Give us a call at 916-361-2051 or check out the schedule at sportsleisure.com.
There you go. All right. Mark and Tom with you, and it's time to odds and ends, kind of shuffle things around. Our last segment, we'll have Scott Clear. He's with Broadway Sacramento. Going to give you a rundown of all the exciting shows that are going to be both at the Broadway Sacramento Convention Center and what goes on at the Music Circus, which has turned into a year-round thing. I find that pretty exciting.
Yeah, they're kind of running concurrently with...
Pretty much.
And also, I noticed from Scott's commentary, he didn't really point this out, and full disclosure, we interviewed him yesterday. He mentioned they are now doing not... It used to be every Broadway show was, you know, a traveling road show. And what he mentions is that in some cases now they're putting together their own production, which isn't a traveling road show, which is just doing the show in Sacramento. So my guess is that there may be a cost factor there. But it also gives people who are local talent an opportunity to be able to, and even Broadway talent. You know, it's amazing how often you get to talking to somebody who's been on Broadway for X number of years. And they're like, you know, so how are things in Sacramento? And it's like, Why would you ask that? Well, I'm from, you know, Lodi or Vacaville or Sacramento or someplace in Northern California. So kind of cool. All right. Let's see here. What happens if my cruise line changes my itinerary or my ship? We are really overdue for a Travel Guys mailbag here where we answer people's questions, because this came in last week from somebody who was on a cruise. They missed two ports of call, and the cruise, it was a five-day cruise, it only had three ports of call. So
yeah,
basically,
good question.
Yeah,
good
they
question.
Spent most of their time on the ship, and they're like, so, you know, we got our money back for our shore excursions that we signed up for, but we only got off the ship once, and we missed two ports, and so does the cruise ship, do we get any money back, was basically his question. And he said, you know, I already asked the cruise lines and they gave me this convoluted answer that led me to believe that I might get literally a few dollars back. And so I suggested that he take a look at the cruise ship contract. We were doing an email back and forth, and he sent me a picture of the cruise ship contract. And indeed, in their contract of carriage, which is what you're agreeing to when you purchase space aboard their ship, it tells you specifically, addresses this issue, that if for some reason they can't get into a port, in most cases you're not compensated for it, because in many cases it's not their fault. If something is going on and they are not allowed to get into a port for whatever reason, then it wasn't their fault that they couldn't get there. And you can't just take a cruise ship with a couple thousand people and show up at a dock somewhere at a neighboring city and say, hey, I know you weren't expecting us, but we're here today. It doesn't work that way. So without getting permission, and, you know, if you're cruising around in Alaska, Juneau only takes so many ships a day. Sitka only takes so many ships a day and so many people. So that's all maxed out. So if you don't show up in one place and you want to go someplace else because it's closer, that's usually not an option. So this is a roundabout way of explaining to people that when a cruise line changes its itinerary, unless it's something that could have been foreseen in advance, or is something, you know, the ship has a mechanical and literally is dead in the water for a day or two and you miss the ports, then in that case, the cruise line will decide on their own what that was worth to you. But I did a little homework here. I went online and kind of Googled this and looked on a few different Facebook pages and stuff like that. It appears as though in most cases, cruise lines who do give you some kind of compensation, it's usually $50 or $100, and most of the time it's a credit towards a future cruise. It's not actual money, but rather it's that whole airline dodge again, where we're not going to give you a refund, we're going to give you a voucher. The voucher expires in 6 months or a year, so if you don't do it, we're out from under the tax liability for this voucher. And if you do use it, we'll make some more money off of you.
Well, you know, it's illogical. Not necessarily makes everybody happy, but stuff happens that you can't predict. And missing a port of call is definitely one of them. I know with Sports Leisure, you guys take people all over the place. I recall Clayton not too long ago being on the air with us talking about a destination for, I can't recall what it was, but the main thing they were going there to see got rained out. Or you go to Alaska in hopes of seeing the Northern Lights.
Yep.
And they don't show up.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing you can do about it. You go for fall foliage. You plan the trip based on Mother Nature and with a schedule, and 1 year you get the greatest fall foliage, and the next time, no show.
And that's entirely accurate. That really happens in the same place. You can go and you say, wow, it's the first week of October. This was the perfect time to come. So the next year you schedule your tour over the first week of October and nothing, because it was either too hot or too cold and the leaves are a week early or a week late. And so, yes, traveling is not an exact science. For those of you who travel, you probably have already figured this out. As the weather, as we get more hot weather in the summertime, we get more thunderstorms. Delays are up 20% for the first 2 weeks of June over what they were the first 2 weeks of June 10 years ago. So that could be a lot of factors, but it's something to keep an eye on. Listen, you've heard about the World Cup thing, right?
Yes. Why don't you, for those that may not have, the story came out a few weeks ago. Why don't you bring us up to date on what this whole deal about the World Cup, and then why would Kraft's ranch dressing have anything to do with it?
You know, explain. And this has become the big take-back item. TSA sent out a bulletin last week saying that they didn't specifically name ranch dressing, but in the three items they named, one of them was salad dressing. And they said specifically, you know, remember, you can only take 3-point-something ounces per container back over. See, and some of these folks, of course, they're flying over the ocean and stuff like that. They may not want to put a bottle, or if it's a glass bottle, heaven forbid, of dressing in their suitcase. That could be a mess when you got home, not to mention the fact that now you don't have the dressing anymore because it's all covered with shards of glass. Or it's just the plastic, something has happened. So Kraft put together this carry-on package. And this is really cool. It came from a website last week. There are 15 individual packages of ranch dressing. Actually, I take that back. There are 30 individual packages of ranch dressing in this carry-on sized container so that you could, and they're all individual packages, so you could take them through TSA. I guess you could put them in your checked bags, too. I don't know how secure those little packages would be if something got squashed on top of your suitcase. But nonetheless, leave it to the folks at Kraft who have come up with this really cool packaging so that folks who are here for the World Cup can take Kraft dressing home. What a brilliant idea. Whoever came up with this, I mean, because this is already stuff that they already have these individual packages. So all they had to do was source somebody who had something to put the packages in, and bingo, and then mark it up some and put it out there, and you got guys like the Travel Guys talking about you on the radio when you wouldn't have been. When would Kraft ever have been mentioned on the Travel Guys?
There you go. Not likely.
Not exactly. Probably not ever. this is a really neat story. United Airlines, you hear this if you travel a lot. You pull into an airport, and you're getting up to the gate, and a flight attendant comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we're running a few minutes late today, and we have some folks with some tight connections here at Chicago O'Hare. If you don't have a tight connection, if you would be kind enough to stay seated and allow the people who do have tight connections to get up the aisle and get off the plane, that would be wonderful." And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes they let the people from the back, and then when you're in the middle or the front-ish part of the plane, and you kind of sense now that these are not just people who have tight connections. This is everybody from the back of the plane who is getting off, and then things tend to break down. This is about a United Airlines passenger. Her grandmother was terminally ill, and she was racing to get to her and got into a situation where she had a very tight flight connection, and this was in Denver, and she had to change concourses. And so the flight attendant went on and said, "Look, you know, here's a situation. This young lady is trying to get to her grandmother's bedside before she passes. She has 25 minutes before her plane departs, and it's on a different concourse. So we're going to do our part. We're going to call the other concourse and tell her that she's coming and what the circumstances are, and if you folks would just be kind enough, she's in 33C, so she's in the back of the plane. If you would let her get off of the plane, that would really be amazing." And the people stayed seated and let the lady off the plane.
Well, there you go.
So, and I thought to myself, you know, you don't know when you're on an airplane why somebody needs to make a connecting flight. You know, they're on a business trip, or, you know, I'm traveling with 25 or 30 customers or something like that. If I'm within a few minutes, they're probably going to wait for me. But for one person, they might not, especially if it's stormy and they've got a short window. You know, this flight's got to get out of here, or maybe it doesn't go. So it doesn't hurt. The point of all of this, it doesn't hurt if you have a really special reason and you can see your plane is late and this is happening. Hit the flight attendant call button before the plane starts down, and tell the flight attendant what's going on. And sometimes they will make an announcement like this, and sometimes people on the plane will be kind enough to let you off. And if you don't have any fish to fry, Whether the person in the back made it up or not, stay seated and let them off the airplane. What a nice thing that would be. And just think about, you know, someday that karma might come back to you. Okay, one more thing real quickly here. Airport codes. Sacramento's airport code is SMF. Where the heck Smurf. Did that come from? Smurfs, that's what we call it, Smurfville. Does it stand for? Our old airport was called Sacramento Metropolitan Field. Until in 1968, they moved out to the new airport. They kept the SMF. So even though we are no longer Sacramento Metropolitan Field and we are an international airport, we are SMF, Smurfville for Sacramento.
There you go. All right, my friends, coming up, we're going to spend a little bit of time with the president and CEO of Broadway Sacramento, Scott Clear. Find out what's going on with him and all of the theater around town right here on The Travel Guys.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Links to our special guest today can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. It's been a while, in fact, too long, since we've had the president and CEO of Broadway Sacramento on with us to talk about all of the great music that they bring here to Sacramento. Once again, thanks for joining us, Mr. Scott Clear.
Always a pleasure.
So, Scott, the season has started, but, you know, there used to be kind of a delineation between the Broadway series shows and the music circus shows, and now that's kind of all jumbled together. So you're in the middle of the season. You're at the time of the year which traditionally would have been the beginning of music circus. So for folks who are new to Sacramento or new to the program, explain a little bit about what Broadway Sacramento is.
Absolutely. Broadway Sacramento is two companies in one. Broadway Music Circus is where it all began back in 1951. This is our 75th anniversary. And that is theater in the round, produced exclusively for Sacramento audiences. These are titles that we choose, shows that we cast, shows that we design and build, and they only play here in Sacramento. We have another arm, Broadway on Tour, and that allows us to bring in all of the shows hot off of the Great White Way in New York. And so you'll see the likes of Hamilton and Wicked and last season's The Lion King playing at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center. So now the new normal is that those two seasons of shows overlap, and both are year-round. So we're offering Sacramento audiences at least a musical a month, 12 months a year.
Cool. So, and Frozen is on tap now, and then Young Frankenstein, and we've got Come From Away, some old Broadway favorites. Tell us a little bit about the shows that are coming up.
Absolutely. Well, we have another week of Frozen. We now have Wednesday matinees for audiences' information. Every music circus show has half the inventory in matinees, so lots of opportunities to see a show in the daytimes. And we come back for Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein in July. And then we have a Broadway on Tour engagement of Hell's Kitchen, which is the Alicia Keys bio musical. That's playing at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center in late July, early August. And then we'll circle back to Broadway at Music Circus for Hairspray in August. And then we're going to open a title your audience may not have heard of called Come From Away on September 11th. And it is a September 11th story, a beautiful story, a life-affirming story that I think those that aren't familiar with it don't yet know that it's one of their favorite shows. It is incredibly special, and that will be with us for a week, September 11th. And then we take a break at Music Circus and circle back in around the holidays for a brand new musical version of A Christmas Carol.
Scott, let me jump in and ask any new challenges in the last 6 months to a year with all of the programs and music that you have going on?
Well, we've made 10 million changes to our operation, and we're still in the process of educating the region as to what's happening. And so I hope that we're able to grow our audience with all these opportunities to expand our programming. You know, I think that for many generations, Sacramento understood Music Circus to exclusively exist in June, July, and August. And now, with the year-round programming, we have an opportunity to reach a lot more people, to do more shows, to have more performance weeks. But it's important that we get the word out. So I appreciate your help in doing so.
You've got a conglomeration here of locally produced and outside shows. Obviously, on the locally produced shows, most of your talent comes from this area, yes?
No, only some talent comes from this area. You know, I will spend, on average, 2.5 to 3 months a year auditioning both in Los Angeles and New York as well as here. And so I would say that the majority of the actors in our Broadway Music Circus productions are based in New York, and some from Los Angeles. We're trying to grow the local talent pool that we use at Music Circus. In fact, we can boast, I think we have 4 or 5 in this Frozen cast that are Sacramento area based.
We're with the president and CEO of Broadway Sacramento, Scott Clear.
Scott, the Tony Awards have just come and gone. Let me ask you, I'm sure you were an eager spectator to that show. Is there a show that you that in the back of your mind that, boy, I'd really like to get that show to Sacramento? Is there something? What's number one on your wish list right now?
Well, I would say that the winner of Best Musical, I think, is a show that our audience will really respond to, and that was Schmigadoon, which your audience may be familiar with the Apple TV series that it was based on. What I found in seeing it on Broadway is that's where it was meant to be. That's where that story was meant to be told. And in person, with that incredible cast, it was a pure delight. You know, the other surprise this season was a musical version of the film The Lost Boys. And that is Broadway on a grand, grand scale. And for any of your listeners that have the opportunity to see it in New York, it is produced at a level that is absolutely jaw-dropping.
Oh, Scott, I hate you. I was in New York a couple of weeks ago, could only had time to see one show, and I chose to go see Death of a Salesman because that's such an iconic show for anywhere. And of course, anytime you get a chance to see Nathan Lane on the stage, that's always an honor. But I found, interestingly enough, went to see Nathan Lane, and it was Laurie Metcalf who was alongside him on the stage, who some people will say, Laurie Metcalf, where do I know that name? Well, she's been in, half a dozen situation comedies, many of them for extended runs over the years. She was brilliant on the stage. But if I'd have had one more night, I would have gone to see Lost Boys. And Schmigadoon is a conglomeration of parts of several different shows. Is that correct?
What it is a new musical written in the style of the golden age of musicals. And so many of those songs will have familiar melodies and the story structure. Basically, it's about these two, this modern age couple that find themselves wandering into this kind of fantasy world of musicals. And trying to reconcile to that, one of the two in the couple is a fan of musicals and the other is not, and how this musical world kind of wins him over.
Kind of cool for a show that came literally out of nowhere
to win
the Tony. Yeah, exactly. To win the Tony. Scott, if folks are interested in getting tickets for an upcoming show or just information, getting on your mailing list, something like that, tell us where they can go.
BroadwaySacramento.com has the answers to all their questions.
That's pretty complicated. Broadway Sacramento, all one word. If you could type BroadwaySacramento.com and hit enter into your computer, why then a whole new world will open up to you. As you can tell by what Scott has to share with us here, there's practically a show every month in Sacramento, and some of them are really terrific quality. And Come From Away is something that I just got an invitation in my own office to come and see that from someone who has season tickets here just about 2 hours ago. So, of course, that's the show that is all about folks who landed in Gander, Newfoundland, and came from away after 9/11. So a classic show. If you haven't seen it, really, it's one of the best musicals ever. And first see it and then go to Newfoundland and meet the people up there and tell me that they're not exactly like the folks that you met in the show. Scott, thanks for your time and for all of your information. And if you have any updates or anything that you really need to get out, why, give us a shout and we'll help you.
Awesome. Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
I'm still so intrigued with Come From Away.
Yeah.
And how that all developed. We started talking about that, gosh, several years ago when it first came to New York, and what a unique show that would be. You know, if you go online and search it, you can see clips and stuff and get a better grasp. But what a clever and interesting way to approach a musical of something of such great importance.
If you are somebody who is involved with an entertainment group in town, a theater group or something like that, I don't care how big or how small, if you send me a note at travelguysradio.com, we'll make an announcement about it on the air. It won't fill the house, but we might pick up one or two people for you somewhere. So if you have something like that, send us a note and we'll be happy to give you a plug on the air. In the meantime, we are on every Saturday at 11 o'clock. It's time for us to go now. Dance like everybody's watching. Dance like nobody's watching.